paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
You call it the Chicago way? Okay, here's the first thing on the Chicago way that I have to do. Give me my pill, Jeff Carlin. Give me the pill that will make everything all right because it's not all right.
I don't think they make a pill big enough, John.
All right. I draw the line at suppositories, okay? But I need something, and I think it's like about 3 or 4 fingers worth of good 18-year-old scotch, or maybe that 12-star Metoxa my friend Frankie Klopas gave me for my birthday.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I need something because I'm ready to make a decision in my life. I'm thinking Hobart, Indiana, Rensselaer, like live in a little tiny house next to the windmills. I don't know. Someplace out of this state after what I've seen in the last few days, and which will continue over time in the next week. The people of Illinois have just gotten slapped in the mouth once again by Boss Madigan, the Democrats, and let's say 15 Quislings and the Republican Party.
Or as Governor Rauner called it, slapped across the forehead with a 2x4.
Oh, that's another one, Rauner, too. He deserves a little peck, too, like a little puck. Make that little like a stick hit in the back of a melon. Yeah. Where were you, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, where were you, Mr. Rauner?
Speeches. Lots of speeches.
A lot of speeches, not a lot of fighting. Anyway, the upshot is that Illinois raised your income taxes 32%. Now, I know many of you can go to some liberal columnists or liberal pods and hear how great it is to have your taxes raised because we're going to be spending on all sorts of things.
We did something.
Yeah, we did something. We got a budget. We worked together. Okay, but working together doesn't mean that you go into my pocket and you fund programs where a bunch of guys with clipboards hang around doing nothing and then show up on election day to get out the Democratic vote to take more of my money. You won't hear that on other podcasts,
no.
Will you, Jeff Carlin? And you won't even hear that on GN Radio, where I still haven't been asked to do any radio.
To be fair, you did hear that yesterday on the Real Con Show,
or the other day. You didn't hear it from John Cass, did you?
No.
Is there like some blackout of me, or what? What's going on?
No blackout. Mm-hmm. No official decree.
Oh, it's one of those unofficial things.
I didn't say that. I just said I don't know.
I'm just wondering. All right, anyway, it doesn't really matter because we've got you, Jeff Carlin, John Cass. Later in the program of the Chicago Way, we're going to have Kristen McQuarrie, who I hear is looking for a house in Happy Valley, Wisconsin. And if Kristen and I go, can we still write for the Chicago Tribune?
Sure.
I would think so. Right? I mean, now that I don't live in the city and haven't for quite some time while we raised the kids in a place where they wouldn't get shot and they had a decent school to go to. It was easier to write about Chicago because I didn't have any skin in the game.
Right.
You know, and there were many sort of newfound Chicagoans, newbie-born Chicagoans who, you know, they found the tamale guy at 4 o'clock in the morning. So they are real Chicagoans because they found some tamale guy at a Northside bar.
Sure.
And these people would say, you're not from Chicago. Where are you from? You live in the suburbs. But it's better because you're out of it and you're not in the game, so you don't have to
grease any palms or...
No, but there's no conflict. So if I lived in New Zealand, I could properly address Washington. But right now, if I live in Rensselaer, Indiana, and a tiny house under
a cottage, even?
No, just one of those little tiny houses, I'm thinking.
Like the ones we see on the cable shows, the TLC.
Tiny house.
Right.
Yeah, I want one right under, right between the windmills. Yeah. Zeus, me, a patch for my tomatoes, and no, like, Boss Madigan or Republicans telling me why we have to raise revenue. Why don't they ever cut enough? Do you ever think of them? For example, Eastern Illinois University has to get, we have to raise taxes because they need some money. They graduate 900 students a year, and they have a budget of what, over $150 million a year?
There are 900 kids in my high school graduation class, but mind you.
So what is it, Jeff Carlin? Is there a pie you can bake to make us taxpayers feel better?
No. Unfortunately, no. Unless it was laced with something, but it'd have to be laced with plane tickets.
Acid.
Plane tickets to another state.
A window pane pie.
Yeah. It's...
Not that I know what that is, but what?
The proper use of deplorable would be this situation.
So, okay, what is the... I was busy yesterday, the other day, when the override vote happened. I'd spent the morning on another radio station, actually one that asked me to be on, interestingly enough, you know. And we talked for about 4 hours with Danny Proft. And then...
How was he dressed?
Actually quite... not like the old black White Sox shirt, bearded look, you know, like unshaven.
Right.
He's actually quite... He's buff now. And
he's buff.
Yeah.
All that spin class.
I guess we'll get an update from Kristen on that. And then... went out, got a sandwich at Fontana's Pub because they have to fuel the beast.
Yes.
Got Bagel, you know, Italian seasoning. And then wrote the story, and I noticed that people were focused, at least in the immediate broadcast sense that I could add time to even deal with, they were focused on who voted for the tax increase and then voted against the veto, or vice versa.
Right.
The veto override.
Right. They didn't vote for the tax increase, but then when it came back around...
What does that mean? Who cares?
Right.
That's a shell game. Here's right. Find the Black Mariah. I've got three cards here. Pick it out. You know where I've got the shell with the P. Come on, Mr. Carlin. Figure it out. Which one is it? Left or right? Here's 100. Bet $5. Which one is it? Which one? It means nothing, everybody. Here's what you have to focus on. There were 15 Republicans who voted with the Democrats for Mike Madigan's tax cut. Bruce Rauner, I don't think, gave enough, put enough fight in this game to control his members on the Republican side. They bolted. So it's an even, you know, it's not just a one-way ticket here. And those 15 gave cover to, as I said in a column last week, about 8 suburban Democrats who were able to vote for all the budget and budget proposals, and they love all the spending, but for the crucial vote, they voted against the tax increase. So therefore, they could go to their members and say, oh, look, I stand up for taxes. I'm independent of Mike Madigan. Why are people so stupid that they would buy that stuff? But they will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
And not even so much that they can say they voted against, it's so that nobody can say that they voted for a tax increase. That's the bigger hook. They don't want any Republican, because it doesn't matter. They're not running against another Democrat. That's not going to happen.
No.
So they put it out there that there's no Republican coming in and say, hey, well, hey, look, they voted to raise your taxes. I would never do that. And that's
I stood up for you.
Exactly.
I stood up for my neighbors.
And,
all right.
And so, that's the crap of it.
I mean, yeah, that's crap. That's scata. That's right. Poo-poo caca. That is, as my grandfather said, and I've used this in the column recently, Papu Pete, he was a very interesting fellow, came here when he was 6 years old with a note pinned on his shirt like Vito Corleone in the movie, but this was real. He was actually 11 years old, the eldest of eight. He had 8 sisters younger than him.
Whoa.
He had to come here to raise money. He did a lot of things, knocked around, fought in both world wars for the Canadian Army. because the United States Army threw him in a truck, and they wanted to. That's how they raised troops for World War
One. Right.
You go through the immigrant ghettos and you throw guys in a truck. And he's like, nobody's throwing me in a truck to fight. He jumped, ran to Canada, joined the Canadian Mounted Rifles, and later was at Dunkirk at 45.
Oh, wow.
And that movie's coming out. We got to see that. Even though I hear it's too white. Is that an issue? Is that an issue?
No.
You heard about that, right?
I did, but it's not an issue.
It's not an issue? Anyway. He had a lot of different things to say, and he lived a very interesting life. But one thing he'd say about politicians, Aftos milai ke o gaidros klani. Can you say it with me? Aftos.
Milai.
Ke. O gaidros.
O gaidros.
Klani. That means when he speaks or when they speak, the donkeys break wind. And that's the feeling I had watching all these people talk about getting into my money. Because, Jeff, you're in the news business. Who gets to complain about, you know, when we had the budget impasse? How many stories did you do or have you seen done about state agencies or vendors, you know, who sell stuff to the state or who have programs and projects? They're eating off the state.
Mm-hmm.
Who are whining and complaining. If this program dies, so many people will die. We're all going to die. The world is going to die. How many of those stories did you see? It was endless, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Even now, you have the royal leader of Cook County, Tony Taxwinkle.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Saying, well, if we don't reinstate this ridiculous soda tax, that, we're not going to be able to put anybody in jail because we won't be able to pay the ridiculous amount of money that we have to pay people.
I don't even think they have anybody in jail, to tell you the truth. I'm hearing stories about how the jail's almost empty. They're not prosecuting. What are they prosecuting?
Well, right. Look at the... Geez, look
Jim
at the-
Fox is just hugging people. It's like, okay, promise you won't rob again.
Right. Well, look at the guy who sold the high-powered rifles, the guy who shot up those two cops.
Mm-hmm.
The judge is like, well, $4,300 back on the street.
Yeah, back on the street. Not in my America, but not in Jeff Carlin's America, baby.
Right.
You're caned like in Singapore first every day. So anyway, back to those people that complain and you have months. Because they came out, NBC News came out, National News came out, and the kid wanted to interview me. They interviewed me. They wanted to do it like on the Riverwalk. I'm like, no. I'm going to interview. We can stand right here outside the NBC tower. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do one of those walk and talk nights.
Right, on Rahm's fancy palace.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, well, we have all these people who are, there's a dentist and who hasn't been paid. And people won't get their tooth care. And there's a substance abuser who needs to have counseling. And they won't get it. Okay, on that. I'll give you a pliers, pull your damn tooth out, okay? I'm tired. I don't want to pay for your tooth. I'll give you a pliers. Pull it out. Have a shot of whiskey. You're going to be good. But the point being, you hear everybody screaming for their money. Who don't you hear screaming? The middle class. You're listening to this podcast now on the Chicago Way because you know the Chicago Way. You know that you're getting screwed, which is what really this is about.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're getting screwed. You're listening to Jeff. You're listening to me later in a few minutes, Kristen. And did anyone come to you to ask you to tell stories, wrenching, sobbing stories about how you're going to have to move to Wisconsin or Indiana and live next to John Cass in the tiny house? No one came to you. All the stories, why is this, Jeff Carlin? Tell me about the media. Why is this? Why do we have to hear all these stories about the sad sack vendors and programs and nothing about the middle class that pays for everything and gets stuck with the bill?
Yeah, it's an easier story to tell, which I think what it really comes down to, hearts and minds kind of stuff. I mean, the people of the state don't necessarily have the voice. They don't need the voice. They just, they need the voice, but it just doesn't come out.
Well, they have the voice in the Chicago Way. They have the voice in Kristen McQuarrie's columns and the Tribune editorials. They have the voice sometimes when I feel like it in when they're not giving me the mutza in my column for, hauling
mushroom compost.
That hurts. The lady who wrote the letter wrote me back and said, you made my day. Thank you for, I said, thank you for what? For giving me the mutza? Thanks a lot, Barbara. Anyway, yeah, it just, the nature of the news business in selling tax increases and the nature of the news business in basically cleaving to the idea that government can't afford a tax cut has driven the people of Illinois out of their homes and has driven the state into perhaps a financial condition that we cannot repair.
There's a tiny house by a tiny stream where a lovely lass had a lovely dream, and the dream came true quite unexpectedly in Gilly, Oss and Pfeffer, Cancel and Bogan by the sea. She was out one day.
On a few columns I'm going to make, I'm going to write about the lamb ribs. I mean, not the pork ribs, Greek style, Mediterranean style. For those of you who don't like Greeks, we'll call it Mediterranean. But yeah, it's Greek ribs, lemon, garlic, salt, pepper, lemon zest, olive oil, a rub like that. You saw the video, you read the column. Along with this amazing lemon sauce that Jimmy Banakis from Juicio's restaurant sent to me, and I posted it on Facebook. As soon as I got it, Betty made the sauce. It was, Jeff, it was like a lemon mayonnaise. It was so good. It was lemon, grilled lemon, a little, was there zest in there? There was lemon juice. There was drizzled salt, pepper, a little cayenne. Interesting. And then drizzled the olive oil in with an egg, and then drizzled olive oil, made a little mayonnaise, like a lemony mayonnaise. Like a
citrus aioli?
Is that what we'd call it?
Yeah.
And this thing, when you, so here was the menu that, you know, people, some people, Lainey Kumelis and her husband Nick came over, and they brought some Swiss chard from the grandfather's garden.
Oh.
So this baby Swiss chard, it was I think it was boiled, but not boiled to hell.
Sure.
You know?
Blanched.
Cooked. Nice. Tender. Fresh and really good sweet corn. And these Greek ribs that we hit with the lemon juice from the grilled lemons when they came off, and then drizzled this lemon mayonnaise from Jimmy Banakis, this Juicio's guy. The lemon sauce on top of them. And that lemon and the lemon sauce also drizzled onto the plate and got onto the chard. It was, and the corn, because it gave you a sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, sometimes I'd like to talk about cooking, and everybody who loves to cook knows, like, you don't remember that bourbon pie you made? Not the bourbon pie.
Blue, it was a mixed berry.
The mixed berry pie. It was so killer, and you were, like, happy with it? That's how it was. Like, finally, after cooking for a million years, when you hit the one time that it really works. So I want everybody to know that I'm going to make those ribs again with the lemon sauce and put that out in the column so you can see, you'll have it. So, because really, it kills, okay? It's just great.
I'm jealous because I didn't, over the holiday weekend, I really didn't do much cooking on my end. I was very busy running around doing
errands,
family things, yeah.
Everybody okay?
Yeah, everyone good. I got some bad news. A friend of mine from back when I was bartending and stuff passed away, had sleep apnea, unfortunately.
A young guy?
Yeah, 41, so yeah, young. I mean,
heart?
No, he sleep apnea, and a night of drinking, just never woke up, which was unfortunate. One of those type of people that, you know, he was just a ridiculous person.
Did he have the CPAP on?
No, he didn't. A young guy. He was a bartender, worked, lived on the beach, worked at a crab shack in Panama City, and just didn't really take care of himself. But he was a good guy. He's a well missed. My friend Todd.
You want to say his name?
Yeah. Todd Hickson, a good man, always light up a room and never had a mean thing to say about anybody that wasn't deserved.
I bet he'd like that. Todd Hickson, memory eternal. And to everybody who lost anybody, you know, sometimes we go on with these shows and our lives and, you know, other people have been hurt. And you don't even know it. Like, you're babbling about yourself. Oh, my great ribs. Oh, I'm so smart.
I love
I'm
pie.
Such a smart. I love you. Love pie. I'm so smart. I'm such a great political analyst. I'm so, you know, whatever BS, you know, when your head starts swelling up and you need your wife to come by with a pin to pop, you know, to lance that gigantor head. And you don't stop to think about the people that have been hurt. And sometimes, like you, like I'm babbling on, and then you tell me about Todd, so I'm sorry.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before. Who cares when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared, but sometimes things get turned around and no one spared. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good life yet.
And in a few seconds, we're going to have the newest resident of Happy Valley, Wisconsin on. Her name is Kristen McQuarrie. Her microphone's on right now. Kristen?
What's up?
What's up, Kristen?
I love the suspenders, Cass.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, McQuarrie. Sorry. We'll go south side again. We'll talk to each other in our cell. I call her Kristen. She calls me Cass. Okay, good. Is her voice? Yeah. So you're moving? I heard that somewhere.
We're not moving, but I did. I literally came home from work to my husband looking on real estate sites in Wisconsin following the income tax hike.
Yeah.
He's a little displeased. So we are not, I don't think we're moving, but it is grating to live in the city, live in Cook County, live in Illinois, and just see all the debt keep accumulating.
Do you want me to bring some pop in for you? I still live
only
in Cook County,
spiked.
But I could get to DuPage pretty quick.
Oh, because of the soda tax.
Yeah, the limonada, because I know you're like into the fancy pops.
Right, exactly.
Or what do we call it in the Tribune? Soda?
Soda. I would like soda. Can you bring me some cigarettes? I'd just because.
Just because you don't smoke.
I'm sure the alcohol taxes are probably less, too. I should load up.
So, okay, you're going to go to Wisconsin to live in some gigantor home that I heard about on another in another broadcast venue, which is a great, great vacation-y spot. I'm going to live in a tiny house in Rensselaer, Indiana, under one of those windmills, okay, with a little plot of me and my Weber kettle Betty. And
Weber kettle, comma Betty, right. Right.
No. My Weber kettle and Betty.
Right.
No, I'm just thinking of how much I can have there.
You didn't name one of your Weber kettles Betty.
Betty first, then the Weber kettle,
make
then
sure.
Zeus. Okay,
make sure.
Zeus last. But we'll live in a tiny house.
Okay. One maybe of like, the actual tiny houses where they're maybe
you've
the
seen
size
them.
Of this table.
300 square feet.
Yeah, that'd
all
be
you need.
Perfect.
Sure.
I'll sit in a, just think of me in one of those lawn chairs, the kind with the straps, you know, like the vinyl straps.
Yeah.
And mine would probably break, and I'd get my butt stuck in the middle and have to, you know, help me.
But you could afford a new one.
I could afford a new one in Indiana because I wouldn't be paying the tax.
That's right.
So who's to blame here? I've already blamed the Dark Lord, the Night King himself, Mike Madigan, and the Quislings, although they're upset with me. They don't like to be called Quislings.
Oh, and the 15?
And some of the left, too, that are tweeting, they're like, well, Quislings is about Nazi collaborators, so how do you, like, shut up,
right.
You stupid hipster fools.
Right.
All right, but what about the other side? I know Mike Madigan. I've known him for more than 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to Palermo's Pizza on 95th.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most disciplined, hardworking, focused politician I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Heart of Darkness, for sure, to help destroy the state, for sure. Is worth a lot of money for sure, but at least he knows what he wants. What does Rauner want? Bruce Rauner, governor of Illinois.
I think Rauner wanted the income tax hike. Maybe, you know, it kind of goes against his core, but it's not like he didn't run for office open to tax hikes. He did. He put 32 or 33 different service taxes that he would be willing to look at. He talked about rolling the personal income tax of 2011 back to 3%, and he didn't do that. But at different points during the campaign, he was kind of all over the map.
And the last said, yeah, 2 years, right? The last two, 3 years.
Yeah, he said it might take some more time to roll it back. So
didn't he run on it? He ran on the idea that, hey, I'm open to taxes.
Exactly. So I don't think that we should be terribly surprised that maybe he didn't work that hard to pull those 15 Republicans off of the tax. Like, this helps him. The spigot is now flowing. The logjam is gone. He can run for reelection saying, we have a budget. I tried to block the taxes. They overrode me. So I'm not sure that this was great calculus by Mike Madigan at this point.
So in other words, I said in one of the columns last week that Rauner lost big time, but now, actually, even when I wrote that, I'm thinking I might have to revisit that and write a Rauner column, because it looks like he got something out of it, right? He got a place to stand and pontificate from. Almost like he got a WGN radio microphone.
Right.
Where
just
we
sort
can
of
sit
like
and
this,
pontificate.
Like this little triangle piece of cheese up here. He gets to say that he blocked the tax hike, but he did not get, you know, he did not get any of his reforms. Not really. Not a single one. So remember during all the budget impasse and between these two, you know, very ego-driven males, Mike Madigan and
men. Yeah. You know, those men.
You guys are. You are. Yeah. You're so
ruin everything.
So
can't
hard
you just
to
put
deal
women
with
together and have little like talking sticks and everything?
We would have had this all figured out
two and a half
years ago. We would have.
Yeah.
But during that whole time, you may have even written a column about this too, that the only way they were going to break that impasse is if they both could come out winners. Somehow we had to shape a conversation or shape an outcome where they both get to say, I won, I did this. And in a way, this sort of does that, because Madigan can say that Rauner was an obstructionist. We did what was right for the state.
And he protects his eight suburb, like, Mussman, Miss Mussman, do you think I'm not going to be writing your name? Oh, wait a minute.
I know.
And Mr. Anderson, you little quisling, okay?
Yeah.
From Geneva.
But yeah, those suburban Democrats. Right.
Wasn't that a great picture in the photo in the Tribune where Anderson is basically kissing Madigan's ring?
Like, I really couldn't
thank you,
believe
Godfather.
That.
What a fool.
I mean, I kind of understand how some of those 15 Republicans were in a tighter vice than some of the others. Like, if you are a downstater, you represent a university town, the budget impasse has decimated your
community. Because Eastern Illinois needs to spend, I heard this, if the numbers are correct, $100 million or more, $190 million a year in budget to educate 900 students.
Well, I'm not sure Eastern is the best example. I think all the universities are different. Some have been.
How about Chicago State?
Oh, I wouldn't include Chicago. I'm thinking more of Southern.
Okay.
Where you have the entire tip of Illinois on the south is anchored by SIU. And so if you represent those areas, I don't know that SIU is a big wasteful spender or not, but the acceleration of their deterioration, it was real. Higher ed was one of the only areas of the budget where you could choke off money, because the rest of it was under court decrees and money was just flying out the door.
Right, the federal courts and the and the state Supreme Court.
There's all this
Madigan,
mandated money. There's
Madigan
very little.
Madigan elects the Supreme Court, and that Supreme Court said you must pay. You can't change the pension deal.
The pensions, right.
And the federal courts also joined in and said, hey, you have to pay.
You have to pay state workers. You have to pay DCFS. There are all different parts of state government that are under court decrees where you can't not pay. And we even had a judge force the issue on Medicaid.
Right.
So anyway, I do think there was an issue with some of these lawmakers who generally are thoughtful and fiscally conservative, but they were in a really tight spot. And I think
you're a little bit more charitable.
I am. I am a little more charitable to them. And I think it is much braver for them to have voted. I shouldn't say that it was brave.
Consistent to vote
consistent
for the tax increase.
Yes. Thank
and
you.
Then the veto override.
To vote for both and not wimp out like some of these Democrats did, where they voted for the spending. We want all these programs, but then not the tax hike.
Correct.
And a couple of these Republicans, they know that they risked their own careers, basically, by voting for that. So to me, that's a little, in terms of the weasel scale, it's a little less weaselly.
Kristen McQuarrie, weasel scale. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I gave you the sound effect. The weasel.
Thank you.
Call of the weasel. Where are the, what, when they say reforms, because Moody, that made me laugh. Okay. Made me laugh with everything going on that day. We have to do this because Moody's will, all of a sudden they care. For 3 years, nobody cared, but now we care. All right. When they had, Democrats had the supermajority and a Democratic governor, no one cared. Now we care.
My favorite was they throw it at Rauner. Being a man of business, you know how bad a downgrade
like they,
is.
Like they ever
being
made a
junk,
payroll.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
So they take that, Jeff Carlin. They take the Moody's cudgel, and that day Moody's comes out with, oh, by the way, even if you raise the tax, you're still going to be junk.
Boom.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we see what you're doing. We see what you're doing. You're not doing enough. Nice try. Mutsa na on you. That's literally what they did.
Fisa.
They're just reviewing. So we're not sure we're going to get dropped to junk. But it was quite telling that in the hours before the House overrides that vote, Moody's comes out and says, you dumb A's.
We might
still drop you. Stop pretending like this is a fix. It's not.
Some columnist wrote, it's never enough.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I do remember her name again?
I don't know. She's a Southside girl.
She doesn't really have very many fans, not like John Cass.
Oh, well, she has many.
I was watching. So was it too mean?
Was
it
too mean?
No, it makes me laugh out loud. And I know what a time crunch you're under to write things like that because the House didn't even do all this until 4:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And
deadline's
still,
like
I know, but you still manage to. It's why you're so good at what you do, to write this really thoughtful, funny, informative piece.
Want to hear how to say it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll teach you. Aftos.
Aftos.
Milai.
Milai.
Ke.
O.
Gaidros.
Gaidros.
Klani.
Klani.
He speaks, meaning Harris or mm-hmm. any quisling Republican speaks, and the donkey passes, breaks wind,
right.
Let's say.
And that,
that's it. I just had, you know what it was really? I mean, just trick for trick in terms of writing. I had that one idea because I tweeted out earlier in the week. And then I saw, when I saw Harris and Steve Anderson go, oh, I've had death threat. People are mad at me. You know, that kind of nonsense, that little wimpy crap. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like slapping them, like, be a man. Will you stand up? And, I don't even know if we can think in those terms anymore, right? Be a man, whatever that means. But when I saw that, the rest of the column came. And that those numbers were already there.
Mm-hmm.
15 Republicans and the 10 suburban, you've mentioned them. Let's say, put it this way. The Tribune editorial board has mentioned them mm-hmm. as well in a editorial about lip service, where you raise the taxes or you talk about raising the budget and then where are you on the taxes?
And you wimp out. Right. Which I didn't want to see a tax hike, but I want politicians to be held to their rhetoric. And so when you have these Democrats, particularly in the suburbs, running around talking about how the only way we can balance the budget is with new revenue and cuts. It has to be a combination of both. And then they are protected from having to vote for the tax hike because a bunch of Republicans jump on board. Makes no sense to me.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Because that's how Madigan rolls, and that's how Madigan keeps his majority.
How do you pronounce your, is it your grandpa, by the way, before
Papu.
We move on? Papu Pete. Papu, okay.
I'm going to, Papu, P-A-P-O-U.
Accent on the second syllable.
Second syllable, Papu. All right, one other thing now, where are the reforms? What reforms are we talking, when they say, you before we'd raise your, demand you raise taxes again,
mm-hmm.
the bond investors, because mm-hmm. that's what we're, by the way, if you're middle class, that's who you're working for, the investors on the for the bonds.
Yeah, I am.
Aren't you? So what reforms are they talking about?
Well, they wanted to see something done with pensions. You know, we had the Supreme Court knock down pension reform legislation that would have saved billions of dollars 2 years ago, and the legislature has basically done nothing to readdress that issue. And they wanted to see something done with the $14.3 billion bill backlog.
So the pension deal could have been accomplished by what? All new hires
yes.
go on a a 401k instead of a pension.
Yes, the legislature could have done two or three things in these 2 years, and I was actually going back and forth with State Representative Mike Zaleski of Riverside.
Oh yeah,
who kind of took issue. Yeah, I like him a lot.
I do too.
He took issue with the editorial that was in Friday's paper and claimed that a lot of the reforms that were being knocked were in fact in the bill, and you're going to hear Democrats say that. It's not true, in my opinion. There's some tinkering around the edges with pension reform, but it's mostly voluntary. You tell me which state worker is going to give up this golden opportunity and switch to a 401k or whatever.
Yeah,
or even a tier two.
And mandating a tier two is
exactly
a different deal.
Everything that they've done is pretty much voluntary as far as pensions go in the bill. They never got a property tax freeze to Rauner's desk. They never got pension reform where you fly another one up the flagpole to the Supreme Court. Can we do some sort of consideration model where you get to choose? That never happened.
And let's not even talk about it. As long as Boss Madigan is alive, don't talk to me about a constitutional convention. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be there'll be an amendment in there about Cass and McQuarrie not being allowed to live in Illinois.
Will be amendment number 72.
All right. Here's one for you. I asked Jeff earlier. And I know we could get lost in the weeds, everybody, on this, you know, tier one to 401k people are like, what does this mean to me? Ah, they just freak out and they get upset. Don't get upset, because I want to get to something that we all can see with our own eyes. For weeks and months, the news media has been, and I'm a member of the mainstream media, as are you. We're mainstreamers.
We're SMNs.
Yes, right. Whatever that. I don't know what that means. If it means
media.
Some sort of weird thing, I don't want to be it. the issue is, for months, we've told stories about vendors losing money to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And every day in the news, vendors are losing, you know, but it's not told that way. It's, if I don't have my heroin addiction center, I'm going to have to go out to the suburbs and kill a bunch of you to get money for my drugs. So you better give me the money now, damn you. I mean, that's the message. It was very nice in terms of the, you know, oh, the poor woman needs the heroin addiction help. And the poor man with the clipboard wants to have other men with clipboards working to, you know, to help. And then maybe they might work on an election day. You know, who knows?
Maybe.
They might
just by chance.
They might take the week off there and not be on that payroll for that. But they all need that. And the sobbing and the whining and the legitimate pain, and there is legitimate pain too, because people get tied. That's what corruption is. You tie people to government and then bend them to your will. All that, Kristen, was flooding the news. Where were the stories about the middle-class business guy, man or woman, or the family, like the eight generation or how many generations of the one state rep, all leaving Illinois because they can't afford to stay here? Where were those stories? Why did Rauner, who failed to not have those stories out there enough to have a competing narrative?
You're absolutely right. A lot of the stories on the other side that you first referenced were kind of, Speaker Madigan had a number of hearings into all this. So you had played it up for the reporters, the sob stories. And like you're saying, I'm not diminishing them. Many of them were very real. But there wasn't a competing. You had to dig for it. And so some of those stories were there, like Ben Bradley of WGN Investigates did a really great piece
on
this. Yes, he does.
Yes, and
there
neighbor.
You go.
Yeah.
He did some really great pieces on it. There were stories here and there, but similarly, now that the tax hike is in place, and it is in place, it's a done deal, it's happening, where are the stories of the people who, you know, a guy called into the radio station, he finally got a raise in 7 or 8 years, gone. His raise is gone. It's going to the state of Illinois now.
What
about those people who... in fact, Chuck Sweeney, who's a columnist at the Rockford Register Star, my hometown paper, he posted something on Facebook. I haven't had a raise in 9 years, and now you want me to dig into my pocket even more to pay off debt that has accumulated under your watch.
That you accumulated on our behalf so you could have power and make a lot of treasure in your own pocket using that power.
Right.
How evil is that?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and this is a real philosophical difference between the parties, but I do view taxation as kind of a sacred thing, or my income is sacred to me. I'm missing time with my kids so I can be here at work. I'm sacrificing. You're sacrificing. You're not taking vacations. Your income.
I'm scared they're going to fire me if I take off.
I know.
They
I
will,
love that
right?
insecurity about you.
Absolutely.
That would never happen.
Yeah,
but
right.
But your hard-earned money belongs to you, and you. For politicians to be taking it away from you, it has to be more of a respectful transaction. And I don't think the other party views it that way. They view taxation as what you owe. You know,
their entitlement. You owe me.
And the more you make, well, darn it, the more, you know, you should have to pay more. I disagree with that, too. I think you should be able to be successful and not be continually amped up and pickpocketed because you make more money. I don't like that either.
Well, the Mr. Belvedere of Illinois, or he's trying to be the Mr. Belvedere, J.B. Pritzker. The Mr. Belvedere?
What's the Mr. Belvedere theme song? Wasn't that famous?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to think of it. Sorry,
because
John,
he wants
ahead.
To be Mike Madigan's Mr. Belvedere, doesn't he?
Right.
Yes.
Or Mr. French, but that's too old.
No, yeah, Mr. Belvedere.
Belvedere.
That works.
He's talking about, he just tried to get in on it. And I'm like, shut up, dude. Just, your PR people don't even understand. Just keep your mouth shut. Close to this thing.
They all weighed in. I think Kennedy weighed in. They all had little statements
about how terrible Rauner was, how evil the Republicans were, how good, a great thing. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, people are leaving Illinois. And they are. And Kristen, I don't know if you're leaving, but I'm thinking about that tiny house. Do you think the Tribune would let me live in a tiny house? They couldn't say no.
You actually seen one, John? There is no way
that
you could live in a tiny house. I'm thinking more of Betty. The tiny house has a bunk bed up high.
Yeah.
The toilet is right next to the bed, which is right next to the
stove.
It's so gross. Yeah, you can't live in a tiny house.
I'd have to have like a outhouse out back in the other acre.
You could.
That would
have
be gross
like a,
too. Betty wouldn't use it. She don't even use a part. Like if you put up a new port, like if you it just built a new porta potty and put it on a cornfield like that no one else has ever used and it's new that minute, she still wouldn't use it.
I'm sure she loves that we're having this conversation. What about a really nice manufactured home community for you two?
What does that mean?
You know, I can't say mobile home or trailer because that's not politically correct anymore. It's a manufactured home.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
A manufactured home.
You could, you know, have the little, you could grill under the tent.
I was thinking more like, but see, the tiny house has like sort of like a wood look to it. You know,
it
has a
little
wood. Mm-hmm. And then you build a little fire in like a 50-gallon drum. And you sit there in the like with a wet snow outside under a cheap awning that you've got at Menards. And you sit there rubbing your hands, making s'mores, and thinking about Mike Madigan. Maybe he would come by with John Cullerton. We could make s'mores together in the snow.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah. They would owe us.
It's quite a fairy tale.
It is a fairy tale.
Kind of like then his eyes turn blue and he touches you
there
and
you
turn
go.
Into ice, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, look, okay. Kristen McQuarrie, Jeff Carlin, all the readers out, or listeners out there and readers understand we're not giving up. It's not a revolution for me to say Republicans have to win. I don't think it is for you either. It's not a partisan thing. But you have to understand that people still are looking out for you and are still looking out for the larger interests of the state. And on that note, think of Kristen and her. I'm thinking of you in like some kind of wooded glen mm-hmm. in Wisconsin with a babbling brook, a trout farm.
Yes. Privacy.
Jeff and his girlfriend nearby. Jeff's making a pie, kind of like Tuck Everlasting, mm-hmm. where there's a brook that you could just live forever. And then me coming up on my donkey, drunk as a lord, singing, you know, talking about donkeys passing gas, drinking wine, and coming up from my little tiny house in Indiana. For another edition of the Chicago Way, this is John Cass, Jeff Carlin, Christian McQuarrie of the Tribune editorial board and columnist and radio personality. We'll see you. Bye.